in this kingdom, the treasures of the kingdom are accessible by the key of knowledge.
Vision is a necessity for human survival. You are a deliberate creature of a God in heaven, and you were sent from the realm of eternity into the earth realm in order to fulfill a divine purpose. You are here on a mission.
Jesus died, resurrected to restore us back to the glory realm. Christianity is a call unto the glory life. Christianity is a call unto a life of glory and dominion. You have to be transformed into that version of you that is needed to fulfill your destiny. Through the process of spiritual metamorphosis, mental metamorphosis, the assignment is at the mercy of your personal growth and transformation. Listen, Solomon was a normal king. Solomon was a normal king, just like any other king, until one night he encountered God in a dream. And in that divine encounter with God, he received an impartation of the spirit of wisdom, and he woke up as another man. He woke up, even his thinking was not normal again. He could not be a normal king. His reasoning, his perception changed. His understanding changed. The way he saw life changed. The way he used to handle problems and issues in the kingdom changed. Because God gave him wisdom from that encounter. He became an unusually wise. In fact, the Bible says he was wiser than all men. All the kings of the earth, they left their kingdom to come and hear the wisdom of Solomon. I want you to cry out. Say, Father, in this encounter, let a dimension of wisdom that I have never walked in before, that will turn me into another man, that will turn me into a global solution, that will turn me into a sign and a wonder. A dimension of wisdom that will make nations to look for me, that will cause my influence, my impact, my income to spread abroad, to skyrocket, to increase exponentially. Will you cry out to God for an unusual encounter, an impartation of the spirit of wisdom? Liko palasida brandeke palatai rondeke presko tequila balatia manda balate sofreketena. Make sure you are praying that we turn you into another man. The Bible says God's intent is that through the church, in Ephesians 3:10, that through the church, God wants to display, God wants to showcase the manifold wisdom of God, the multifaceted wisdom of God in all its infinite variety. God wants to test this world through the display of the superior wisdom of God through the church, through every believer, in your field, in your career, in your workplace, in your school, in Ishalabatizo Brende Kepa, in every area, in every field of human endeavor. God's purpose is that he wants to show to the principalities and powers in the heavenly places. He wants to use the church. He wants to use me and you, you and I, to manifest and display the manifold wisdom of God in all its infinite variety. Kabalata kabara kabalatai. In the field of politics and governance, in leadership, God wants to showcase and display his wisdom through the church, through believers. In the arena of business and economy, God wants to showcase, he wants to display his wisdom, just like he did through Joseph, just like he did through Daniel, just like he did through Solomon. God wants to educate principalities and powers. He wants to show to the people of the world how his wisdom looks like. He wants to use his children, Maliko Balata, in the entertainment industry, in the movie industry, in the music industry. He wants believers to test this world through the superior manifestation of his wisdom. Malakunde kebalatai, in the arena of media, ilabatosebeletena ekombrakatia, in the mountain of family, ilatasida kapatai, in the mountain of education, in the academia, God wants to showcase through the church, through believers, the manifold wisdom of God, the infinite wisdom in all its infinite variety, the complicated, many-sided wisdom of God. Manda baba babo shila balatai, rondo boko sobraketelatai. Thank you, Father. Father, our hearts and mind are open. Let the eyes of our understanding be flooded with light. Grant us the spirit of wisdom for revelation in the knowledge of you. We receive your word of wisdom. We receive grace to be doers. And we receive the impartation of the spirit of wisdom. Wisdom for wrought mighty works. Wisdom for betting, for producing mighty works. And at the end of the day, you will be revealed and you will be glorified in our lives. In Jesus' name. Come on, clap your hands, oh you people. Come on, shout to the Lord. I say shout to the Lord. With a voice of triumph, come on, shout glory. Hallelujah. You might be seated in heavenly places. Welcome your neighbor to your right and to your left. Tell them you are welcome to School of Wisdom. Ask your neighbor, are you ready to receive wisdom for mighty works? What was the answer? Praise God. Hallelujah. God is ready for us this evening, and we are also ready for him. Hallelujah. In this grand finale of our wisdom series, what wisdom is this? We are looking at wisdom for mighty works. Mark chapter 6 verse 2. Wisdom for mighty works. Okay, you bring down the volume a bit. Wisdom for mighty works. And I believe something will happen to you in this service. You didn't hear me. I said something will happen to you in this service that the next years that you are going to live on earth as Jesus tarries, what will happen, what you will receive, will continue to speak and produce extraordinary result in the name of Jesus. You cannot live here the same person you came. A grace for wisdom will rest upon you that you did not come here with. I say a dimension of wisdom for mighty works will rest upon you that you did not come here with. And it will continually speak and produce mighty, mighty works in the name of Jesus. Mark 6 verse 2, if you start from verse 1, okay, let's start from verse 1. He said he went out, Jesus, he went out from tents and came into his own country, and his disciples follow him. And he went from tents and came into, okay, verse 2 now. And when the Sabbath day was come, he began to teach in the synagogue. Which of the synagogue was the Bible referring to? Is the synagogue in Nazareth. Nazareth was his hometown. Jesus was brought up in Nazareth. Okay? He was brought up. He was born where? In Bethlehem, Judah. But he was brought up. He was raised in Nazareth. Am I communicating? And then when he was... when the Sabbath day was come, he began to teach in the synagogue. And many hearing him were astonished. They were astonished, saying, you see, his teachings were not the regular teachings they were used to. They were not accustomed to the kind dimension of wisdom Jesus was dishing as he was teaching. His teaching was different. Do you know that it's wisdom that differentiates you from others? Wisdom is that mark of distinction between you and others. Am I communicating? They noticed there was a difference. They were astonished. They were awestruck. They were amazed. They were mesmerized. They were dumbfounded, flabbergasted. They were astonished, saying, from whence are this man these things? Where did he get all these things is teaching? Where did he get it from? Of course, they knew that Jesus did not attend secular school. So he couldn't have been from secular education. They knew he didn't attend any Bible or theological school. So, of course, he couldn't have been from any of the seminary or theological schools. They say, where did he learn this one from? Who taught him? Where did he get it from? It was a surprise and a shock to them. He says, whence are this man these things? And I answered the question. I say, he got them from the spirit of wisdom. He got them from the Holy Spirit. Who is the spirit of wisdom? You know, it's wonderful when the Holy Spirit teaches you. I'm telling you, it's so wonderful. Didn't David said, he teacheth my hands to war and my fingers to fight? Was it not David that said it? Who taught David those skills, military tactics, all those military skills in warfare? Who taught David? Was it not the Holy Spirit? Was it not the Holy Spirit that, I hope you know that David was too young to join the Israeli army. He was too young. He was a young lad, around 17 or so. He was too young. His three eldest brothers, Eliab, Shammah, Abinadab, they were already in King Saul's army. But David was not, he was not in King Saul's army, yet he was the one that killed Goliath. How can you explain it? Yet he was the one that did what nobody could do. Allow God teach you things. Allow the spirit of wisdom to teach you. He can teach you how to do business beyond the conventional method that you have learnt about, the ones you've read in books. All of that is good. But allow the Holy Spirit to open your eyes to what eyes have not seen, what ears have not heard, what has not entered the hearts of men. He can reveal these things to you. The Holy Ghost can show you trading formula in forex, in crypto. Easy. Allow him teach you. Some of us, our problem is we trust our brain too much. We rely too much on our intellect. Why don't you rely on him? He said he will show you all things. The spirit of wisdom.
the way you've always been doing it is not working, is not producing the desired result, why don't you consult the Holy Spirit? Allow him show you a better way to do it. Allow him to teach you. Okay, go back to our reading. He said, when said this man these things? And I said, he got it from the spirit of wisdom. And what wisdom is this? His uncommon revelation came from the spirit of wisdom. And what wisdom is this which is given unto him that even such mighty works, somebody say mighty works. The wisdom of God is the producer of mighty works. The wisdom of God is the generator of mighty works. If you desire to produce mighty works in your field of endeavor, in your career, in your business, in the business world, in the academia, the educational world, you want to produce mighty works in your family, in your marriage, you want to produce mighty works in your finances, what is the key? Somebody say the wisdom of God is the key to doing mighty works. It is what births mighty works. And when we say mighty works, we are talking about miraculous manifestation. Because actually, I did a little study. The Greek word translated mighty works is actually dunamis. Dunamis. Am I communicating? So he's talking of miracles. Miraculous works. It's not, when we say mighty works, it's not the works of the law, the Mosaic law. No. It's talking of miraculous works. Am I communicating? Are you aware that there's what we call, it's so wonderful when the Holy Spirit teaches you this, you know. The Holy Spirit taught me so much. I don't even know whether I'll be able to teach you one third of what he taught me. You know, are you aware that when we say miracles, we have miracles of power, then we have miracles of wisdom. Many people are acquainted with miracles of power, but very few Christians know about the miracles of wisdom. Am I communicating? You know, the Bible said Christ, the wisdom of God, and Christ, the power of God. Hallelujah. That's 1 Corinthians 1:24. Two important dimensions of the Christos. Is it Christ, the power of God? Then is it Christ, the wisdom of God? And if you look at it critically, every manifestation of God's glory is in these two categories. Every manifestation of God's glory is seen in Christ as the power of God, and is also seen as in Christ, the wisdom of God. Am I communicating? We are acquainted with the miracles of power, but what about the miracles of wisdom? Because look at it here. Okay, go back to our reading, Mark 6:2. He said, what wisdom is this that is given unto him that even such mighty works are generated, are produced? The Greek word is ginomai for rot. It means to cause to be, as in to come into existence. Am I communicating? Are wrought by his hands. The wisdom of God empowers your hands to produce mighty works. Not common works, mighty works. In other words, The key to producing extraordinary results is the wisdom of God. If you want to produce uncommon, extraordinary results, he said the key is the wisdom of God. It's what produces it. Supernatural accomplishment, the answer to wisdom. The wisdom of God will produce supernatural feats, supernatural results, uncommon results. The type that glorifies God, the type that reveals Jesus, the type that we evangelize the world, the type that we make unbelievers to turn to God. Am I communicating? Shemalo sefeletena. Keto sebilatanas. And then they started asking verse 3. They were trying to find out what Jesus was using. Is he a bido shaker? They were wondering, what was... And they say, cut soup. Which soup is he using? Oh, somebody say the wisdom of God. Oh, Jesus Christ. Then they said, is not this the carpenter? They are still investigating to see how they can see how he got what he is using. Is this not the son of the carpenter? And you know, in Jewish culture, the son usually, and the children of a man, they learn the trade of their father. Joseph, the supposed father of Jesus, is a carpenter. So Jesus automatically will learn the trade of his father. Abi? So they say, is not this the carpenter? That was his father's business. And I know when you hear carpenter in your mind, what's going through your mind? You are thinking of the carpenter you know today, right? No. See, the carpenter of those days can be likened to building engineers today. Yeah, go and do a little study on it. It's not the carpenter you know today. They were like building engineers those days. Am I communicating? So, it says... Is he not the son of the carpenter? Is the brother of James, Joseph, you know, and Judah and Simon? Look at his family members, his siblings. Are not his sisters here with us? And they became offended at him because they could not trace the source of the wisdom he was using. They could not trace what was equipping and empowering him for the mighty works that he was doing. They became offended. Am I communicating? They checked his family lineage. They checked. Was it Joseph, his father, the carpenter, that taught him these things? No. Was it his siblings, his brothers and sisters? Is that where he learned it from? No. Like I thought, for those of you who have been following the series, I say the wisdom of God is not found in the land of the living. It's not found in secular schools. It's not found in primary school, secondary school, or any tertiary institution. At best, what you get from schools is what we call the wisdom of men. The wisdom of this world, okay? The wisdom of men and the wisdom of this world are not totally bad. The world has benefited from some of the product of the wisdom of men and the wisdom of this world. Okay? But there is something higher. It's called the wisdom of God. And that's the one God wants you to function. I told you that you cannot defeat Satan, neither can you checkmate him, if you operate with the wisdom of men or the wisdom of this world. Remember, Satan is called, is the god of this world, right? And is the master of the sense realm. So you can't win or defeat Satan if all you are operating with is common sense. Am I communicating? For instance, now let me come to the world of science and medicine. Thank God for medicine. Okay? We can see how the wisdom from science, that's the wisdom of men, you know, we can see how a lot of sicknesses are being handled. But obviously, with all the effort from the medical world, you can obviously see that there are still many issues, many kind of illnesses and diseases that defy medical treatment. Am I communicating? That's to show you the limitation of the wisdom of this world, the limitation of the wisdom of men. Am I communicating? There are some cases of cancer that all the doctor can do is just to tell the patient that put your house in order in 6 months' time. Make sure you write your will, put your house in order. Prognosis is 6 months. As in 6 months' time, the person is gone. Now, that's to tell you the limitation of medical science, as good as it is. It's the same thing in all other fields. The wisdom of man is limited. Are you listening? It will take a higher wisdom to address those issues that defy human wisdom and the wisdom of this world. And that is where the wisdom of God comes in. Am I communicating? It's good to use medical drugs, surgery. Those things are not bad. But what is wrong is when you now put your faith in those stuff. God doesn't want your faith to stand in the wisdom of men. He wants your faith to stand in the power of God, in His own wisdom. Am I communicating? Even when you want to take drug, take that drug, but put your faith in the word of God, not in the drug. Even when you want to go for that surgery, if you must, go for it in faith, but make sure your faith is in the word of God, not in the surgery. Are you getting the point? Because it matters where you put your faith. And the moment you put your faith in any other thing outside of God's wisdom and outside of God's power, you are in trouble. Because that faith can fail. The only sure foundation is the word of God. Am I communicating? This is very important. Because if you keep putting your faith in medical science, it may keep working for you until the day they tell you your sickness doesn't have medical cure. So what will you do now? You are in trouble. Because all the while, You've been putting your faith. You have schooled yourself to depend on that. Are you seeing that? The Bible talked about one of the kings. Is it King Amaziah or Hussef? I've forgotten. That had some doctor say his diabetic foot. He had a disease in his leg. And the Bible said, unfortunately, that king died. And we're told why he died. He said because he sought to physician instead of seeking the Lord. His faith was in the physician instead of putting his faith in the Lord. Are you seeing the problem? God is not against him going to physician. But here is the problem. Instead of putting his faith in the Lord, he's putting it in physician. And that's what God does not want. It's the same thing with money. God wants you to have money, but He doesn't want money to have you. Am I communicating? Doesn't want money to have you, as in possess you, control you, and decide what you should do or what you should not do. No. That's not the will of God. The will of God is for you to have money and abundance, wealth and all of that. But He doesn't want those things to have a grip on you, as in you now beginning to put your faith and your trust in the money. You beginning to love it. God doesn't want that. Are you getting my point? Because one of the temptations of the rich is trusting in money. Okay? You know, there's a dimension of wealth a man can have that his confidence, his trust, his faith is in his money, not in God. And that's one of those temptations that God doesn't want his children, because that his money can fail him one day. Yes. Haven't you heard of billionaires that have died in plane crash, that have died inside their Lamborghini? Haven't you? How come their money could not deliver them? Are you seeing the limitation? You may have money, but that money cannot buy protection. You may have all the security in your house, but it can still not protect you from arrows. Hallelujah. So he doesn't want your faith to be anywhere else other than his word, other than him. That was the problem with the young rich ruler. Can you remember that young rich lawyer? Okay. The story of the young rich ruler. So he was young, he was rich, he was a ruler. So he had affluence, he had influence at a young age. God is not against those things. But here, this was the problem with the guy. He came and met Jesus. He said, "What can I do to inherit eternal life?" And then Jesus said, "You know the commandment, thou shalt not kill, thou shalt not commit adultery, thou shalt not steal," and all of that. And Bible scholars say that Jesus did not mention all the Ten Commandments. Did you notice? There were particular ones he selected out of the ten. Bible scholars say that if you obey those commandments as a business person, you will succeed in business. Go and study that part of the Bible. Because in business, there is temptation to break those commandments. So the ones Jesus brought out are the ones you need to succeed in business. Then hear what the rich young ruler said. He said, "All these have I kept from my youth." Jesus was impressed. And remember, according to the law of Moses, if you obey the commandment, you will be rich and prosperous. So that is even the secret of his wealth and influence in the first place. He said, if you observe, if you hearken unto Deuteronomy 28, if you hearken unto the commandment and observe to do them, all those blessings will come upon you. So the reason why he was rich and he was influential as a ruler was because he was keeping the commandment from childhood. That was his secret. Then Jesus wanted him to move to a higher dimension. Then when he told Jesus, "All this I have kept from my youth," Jesus looked at him and then Jesus loved him. Then Jesus said, "Go and sell all that you have and give to the poor, and then come and follow me." Now, why did Jesus tell him that? Jesus told him to do that because Jesus saw a problem that Jesus wanted to deliver him from. And what was that problem? His faith and trust was in his money. That was what Jesus saw. And the only way to cure that is through giving. So Jesus said, "Go and sell all you have, give to the poor." Because watch this. I told you, God wants you to have money, but he doesn't want your faith and trust to be in money. Neither does he want you to love the money and possession. And that was the temptation that he wanted to deliver the rich young ruler from. His faith was in his money, not in God. His trust was in his money, not in his God. His confidence was in his wealth, not in his God. And that was why Jesus said, "Yeah, go and sell everything, give to the poor, come and follow me." In other words, Jesus wanted his faith and trust and confidence to shift from his possession and his wealth to him. That's to put it in God. But unfortunately, the Bible says the man became sorrowful. Go down. You are not even following. Praise God. That should be the book of Luke. He said, the Bible says, the man became sorrowful and left. He became sad and sorrowful because he had great possessions. But was that really the problem? Abraham too had great possessions. Isaac had great possessions. Jacob had great possessions. But all these people, their faith was not in their possession or their wealth. It was in God. So the real problem was not that the rich young ruler had great possession. The real problem was that great possessions had him. Great possessions had him. He didn't just have them, they had him. In other words, there was a grip of mammon on him. His faith and trust was in his money. So he is finding it hard to give. Am I communicating? And that was what Jesus wanted to deliver him from. But unfortunately, he didn't pass the test. It's a great possession had him. And then look at, he was very sorrowful. And then Jesus said, how hardly shall they that have riches enter the kingdom of God? How hardly? Okay, next verse. Let's. For it is easier for a camel to go through a needle's eye than for a rich man to enter the kingdom of God. Hold it here. Okay, some people have read this verse and they concluded that if you are rich, you will never make it to heaven. You know why the people interpret the scripture that way? Because in their mind, that needle there, they are thinking of this one that Pastor Mafeng, and all our fashion designers in the house. Well, AJM, I have a lot of fashion designers, though. The one they are using to sew clothes. In their mind, when they say needle, that's what comes to their mind. Ask yourself, this needle you are using to sew clothes, was it in existence during Jesus' time? Was it in existence? It wasn't. So you can't just interpret Bible like that. You need to be thinking, am I communicating? This needle you are using to sew clothes, there was nothing like that during Jesus' time. So how could that be the meaning in this verse? It's not. Am I communicating? Was there camel in Jesus' time? Yes. But this needle you are using was not in existence then. So that means the needle's idea is not talking of this small this one that you pass thread through. That's not what it meant. Okay. Now, Bible scholars explain the needle's eye. Now, in Jerusalem, there is this big gate that people that have camel, people from a journey, people that have plenty load, there is this Jerusalem gate, the big one, that they usually open normally during the day. Then, towards the evening, when it's getting late, they usually close the main gate. Then there is a smaller gate they call Needle's Eye that pedestrians usually pass, those that are not carrying much load. So they leave that one open. That's what they call Needle's Eye. Now, when a passenger is coming with camel and is late, they've already closed the main gate that is supposed to enter. He has to now pass through that needle's eye that usually camels don't pass through because it's a bit smaller. But it's still possible for the camel to go through, but this time around, they have to offload all the things that the camel is carrying. Then the camel will have to now kneel down like this in order to bend his head and enter before they will now carry the load and then upload it later. Then the person will climb. So the person enters with the camel with difficulty. Now he needs to kneel down. That talks of humility. And you know, one of the temptations of the rich is what? Pride and arrogance. That's why he said, charge them that are rich in this world not to be high-minded, not to be proud and arrogant, but what? To trust in the living God who gives us freely all things to enjoy. So, did you notice they needed to strip the camel of all the things he's carrying? That means God wants you to have things. He doesn't want them to have you. Are you getting the point? You need to understand how to interpret Bible correctly. Praise God. So he said, it is easier for a camel to go through the needle's eye than for a rich man to enter into the kingdom of God. Am I communicating? Why? Because of all those temptations. The love of money, which is sponsored by Mammon. Trust, trusting in money, putting your faith and confidence in money. All of that. You know, last week I talked about the foundation for wisdom for wealth. And I mentioned the love of God. Okay? That's the cure for loving money. You can't love God and love money at the same time. You have to choose one. Okay? So the love of God must fill your heart. Then I talked of the fear of God, right? What was the third one? See, people just take note like secretary. They know they read them all. What was the third one? Oh yeah, do expo check. Trust. Put your absolute faith and trust in God. Are you seeing this? See, if you love God and you fear God and your faith and trust is in God and God alone as your source, you will not fall temptation. You will not fall to the temptations that come with wealth sponsored by Mammon. Mammon can never get you. Am I communicating? And the proof that your trust is in God is that, and you love God and all of that, you fear God, is that you obey His commandment. You do His word. Okay? You will be a giver. You will be a tither. The person that is not a tither is already greedy towards God. He's not a giver. He's not a tither. That means God blessed you. He gave you those things. You cannot honor Him with them. You can't even express your love by giving. It shows that you are already greedy. And you know what? You are under the influence of Mammon already. Because selfishness and greed is a manifestation of Mammon spirit. Yes. Praise God. How do you break free? Do the things I just mentioned. Hallelujah. Next verse. The disciples were afraid. Is it? They heard this. They said, who then can be saved? Do you know why they answered like this? Because, you know, when some of you think of Jesus' disciples, you see them like some bunch of broke people. It's not really like that, too. It's not really like that. They were rich. See, for instance, Peter. Can you remember when Peter was called? Peter and his brother. They were with their father. They had a big fishing business. They even have boats and they had partners. And after the miraculous catch of fish, Peter left all. He left all, him and his brother. Who was his brother? Andrew, right? They left all and followed Jesus. But did you notice? Okay, let me put it this way. It might interest you to know that Peter still continued his business. He didn't stop that fishing. As in, he left the business in the hand of some people to be running it. He doesn't see, Peter did not stop the business. That's the point I want you to notice. He was no longer the one running it, but he did not stop it. Rather, he delegated it to people to be running the business while he's doing ministry with Jesus. That was why after Jesus died, Peter went back. He said, I go a fishing. I see. Praise God. What of Matthew? Where did Jesus see Matthew? These guys were rich. You know who tax collectors were those days? What's the equivalent today? So that was why they were worried. He said, who then can be saved? So this is why when Jesus they talk like this. I mean, even we too were in trouble. Do you understand? Okay, let me bust your bubble again. You know, there's this popular belief that because Jesus was born in a manger, he was from a poor family. It's not really true. His father, Joseph the carpenter, go and check. He was wealthy. He was a rich man. Now, the Bible says Jesus was born in a manger because they could not get accommodation in the inn. The inn is equivalent of hotel accommodation today. So perhaps that day booking, all the rooms were booked, and Mary was in labor. No time. Are you getting me? Now they rushed to an hotel or a inn for him to get a room, and they say all the places were booked, no space. That was why he was born in a manger. It's not because they could not afford it. Hi, the way some people, it's as if they won't carry stone me. Go and read your Bible. See, Joseph was from a royal family. The lineage of David. Go and check the genealogy. And he was a carpenter. He's the equivalent of building engineers. And he had a flourishing business. He was not broke. And Jesus was a businessman too for 30 years. He only did ministry for 3.5 years. So for most of his life, he was a businessman and entrepreneur doing his father's business. Do business. Tell your neighbor, do business. For 30 years, he was a carpenter. Ministry was just 3.5 years old. Some of the skills he learned in business, it helped him in ministry. Am I communicating? That was why when he started his ministry, he knew he would need an accountant. He knew he would need a treasurer. Do you get it? Where did he learn all these things from? Pastor Shola is smiling. Yeah. Hallelujah. Are you learning something? It's as if I'm busting some religious bubbles. Because there is this general belief that Jesus was from a poor family. No, he wasn't. Okay? He wasn't actually. He was born in a manger because they could not get a room in the inn. And I also believe God did it that way so that he could communicate a message to the hopeless and to the poor that there is hope for you. It's not necessarily because his family is poor. Are you getting me? Because we have to declare war against poverty. You see, we need to teach about kingdom wealth. We need to teach about prosperity, but from a kingdom perspective. You know, there are a lot of unbalanced teaching here and there, and because of the imbalance, some Christians have kicked against wealth and prosperity and all of that. No. All are part of the gospel. Just because somebody is preaching it from a materialistic point of view, sponsored by Mammon, does not mean there is no authentic message like that in the Bible. Okay, let me ask you a question. Do you have a phone? Is it not the same phone hackers and scammers are used to scam people? Is it not the same phone another person is using for all my wish? So, because somebody is using his own phone to scam and dupe people and do all manner of terrible things, does that mean having phone is bad? So you get your own phone and use it for the right thing. It's the same thing with the prosperity message. Okay? Jesus said, the Spirit of the Lord God is upon me. He has anointed me. The first category of people, he said, to preach the gospel to the poor. So the anointing that came on Jesus, the first target is against poverty. That's to tell you how much God hates poverty. So it's not, see, we must preach the full gospel. We preach holiness. We preach righteousness. We preach on prayer. People pray. Have you? We preach all other message. So why will you say we should not preach prosperity? I don't understand. Is that one not part of the gospel? Yes, I'm aware some people have bastardized it, but does that mean it's not authentic? The fake is proof that there is original. Fake miracles, they exist because original miracles are there. The reason why there is fake 1,000 naira note is because there is original 1,000 naira note. Am I communicating? So, we preach wealth, we preach prosperity from a kingdom perspective, and we preach it with balance. And that's what we do here. Am I communicating? If you know the things poverty have done, eh? Oh, Jesus. In fact, do you know poverty is taking more people to hell than even the corrupted prosperity message? Are you aware? Yes. More people are trooping to hell because of poverty than even the corrupted prosperity message. Why do people go and steal? Because they want to escape poverty. Yeah. All the yahoo boys. It's because they want to escape poverty. But nobody is showing them how to do it the right way, the kingdom way. So, there's any way in our way, Abby? You see why we have to teach it in church? If we don't teach church people how to prosper God's way, they will go and learn how to do it anyhow from the people of the world and from Satan. And guess what? Satan will give them the wrong one. Am I communicating? Say with me, in the name of Jesus, I receive grace to have abundance, wealth, and riches without them having me. Wisdom is the principal thing in life. Therefore, get wisdom, and with all thy getting, get what? Understanding. Proverbs 4, verse 7. Wisdom is the principal thing, not money. Because wisdom will give you money and more money you can ever think of. Wisdom can buy money. Wisdom can produce money. So wisdom is superior to money. So wisdom is the principal thing, not money. Number two, wisdom is the principal thing, not education. Education is good. Education is encouraged. Please go to school. If I didn't go to school, perhaps I will be preaching in my native dialect. But education is not the most important thing. It's not the principal thing. Wisdom is. Am I communicating? In fact, you need wisdom to do well in the academia. You need wisdom to succeed in your educational pursuit. Am I communicating? Wisdom is superior to education. I'm talking of the wisdom of God here. The wisdom of God is superior to secular knowledge. Secular education that teaches the wisdom of men and the wisdom of this world. Number three, wisdom is a principality, not power. If you have power without wisdom, chances are that you may abuse the power, you may misuse the power. In fact, you may even destroy yourself with the power if you lack wisdom. Am I communicating? Power without wisdom can destroy even the owner of the power. Haven't you seen political leaders with political power that they are using it to oppress others? Why? They lack wisdom. They lack the wisdom of God. So, the very powerful person will become an oppressor. It's dangerous to entrust power to somebody that does not have wisdom. Even in the use of the anointing, God's power, you channel it with wisdom. Am I communicating? You channel it with wisdom. Wisdom guides you in using the power of God. Praise God. Samson had power, but he didn't have wisdom. I remember how he ended. Praise God. Tell your neighbor, wisdom is the principal thing. Wow, me, I'm enjoying. It's as if we should just continue this series to next month. Me, I'm enjoying this. Woo! Mark chapter 6, verse 2 again. It says, let me make a profound statement. Miracles are not magic. They occur as a result of the right application of spiritual laws of wisdom. Miracles are not magic. They occur as a result of the right application of the spiritual laws of wisdom. All the miracles Jesus did was powered by the wisdom of God, was fueled by the wisdom of God. Okay? Can you remember in John 6 verse 6, before the miracle of multiplying bread and fishes, the Bible said Jesus asked them, he said, okay, give them something to eat. And when they complained, the Bible said this, he asked to prove them, he himself knew what he would do. That's the wisdom of God there. The wisdom of God told Jesus what to do. And when he applied that, there was miracle of multiplying bread and fishes. So can you see that miracle, that provisional miracle of supernatural supply of bread and fishes was as a result of Jesus applying the spiritual laws of wisdom. Are you getting this? The wisdom of God is the producer and director of all his handiwork. Psalm 104 verse 24. The wisdom of God is the producer and director of all his handiwork, his mighty works. Psalm 104:24. O Lord, how manifold are thy works. In wisdom hast thou made them all. The earth is full of thy riches. It might interest you to know that God created the heavens and the earth by his wisdom. Proverbs 3:19. God created the heavens and the earth, including all its content, by his wisdom. The first manifestation of the Holy Spirit in the book of Genesis, chapter 1, verse 2, is as the spirit of creativity. And creativity is a byproduct of wisdom. So that means of the seven spirits of God, the first to be revealed in the Bible is the spirit of wisdom, manifesting in what? Divine creativity. Am I communicating? Of the three members of the Godhead, as in God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, of the three members of the Godhead to be revealed in the Bible, the first was the Holy Spirit. Okay. Proverbs 3:19. He said, the Lord by wisdom has founded the earth. Can you see that? By understanding, he has established the heavens. Now give me Genesis 1 verse 1. In the beginning, Elohim, in the beginning, God, the Hebrew word God there is Elohim. Elohim is talking of the Godhead, in summary, the Godhead, as in the Godhead, God the Father, God the Son, God, the three of them. You don't know which one. It's non-specific. Okay. Created the heaven and the earth. Next verse. Creativity. Verse 2. So, let's find out which member of the Godhead was revealed first. And the earth was without form and void. Darkness was upon the face of the... And the Spirit of God moved. Can you see that? The first member of the Godhead was the Holy Spirit. And specifically, the Spirit of Wisdom. Because that was what created and recreated the earth. Am I communicating? It might also interest you to know that the very first time Satan showed up in the Bible, the very first time in Genesis 3 as a serpent, and serpent is a creature of wisdom, the very first time Satan showed up, he manifested as a deceptive, as in he manifested deceptive demonic wisdom. Deception sponsored by demonic wisdom. That was the first thing we noticed about Satan. So on one end, you are seeing the wisdom of God displayed by the Holy Spirit. On the other end, the first time Satan showed up in the Bible was to deceive Eve by introducing her to demonic wisdom. That's to tell you how important wisdom is. And those of you who were around for Festival of Fire, I was telling you that deception is Satan's number one weapon. It's his greatest strategy in warfare, deception. And that deception is a manifestation of demonic wisdom. And remember, when Satan, Lucifer fell and became Satan or the devil, okay, because of pride, it was the anointed, Lucifer was the anointed cherub that covered it. He said, "Thou sealest the sum." He had beauty and wisdom. Now, the wisdom that accrued to Lucifer as an angel was not taken from him after the fall, because the gift and callings of God are without repentance. Rather, his wisdom became corrupted. His wisdom became corrupted because of pride. So Satan still has that wisdom. Are you getting me? However, it's a corrupted wisdom. So what we call demonic wisdom today, or devilish wisdom, is a corrupted version of that angelic wisdom that Lucifer had. Are you getting this? Keto balakidas. When people do magic, that's demonic wisdom. Enchantment, that's demonic wisdom at work. Sorcery is demonic wisdom. Fortune telling, soothsaying, necromancy, stargazing, prognostication. This is demonic wisdom that is in manifestation. Am I communicating? Remember the revival in Ephesus, that all the students in the school of magic came and burnt their books, their magical books. Can you see that? Just like you are studying to be an economist, you are studying to be an engineer, you are reading books. They too, in that school, they were being schooled, and they even have textbooks that they were reading in order to become what? Witches and wizards. Magicians. Now, ask yourself, inside that their book, what is there? Somebody said demonic wisdom. Occultic wisdom was being taught to them. They were being schooled to be magicians, witches, and wizards by learning occultic demonic wisdom. Shabalako sovreketena. Hallelujah. Are you learning something? Wisdom births mighty works. Wisdom brings forth extraordinary result. Wisdom produces supernatural accomplishment. Wisdom empowers you to do exploits. Daniel 11:32. He said, "For the people that do know their God, they shall be strong, and they shall do what? Exploits." The wisdom of God empowers you to do exploits. Now, the wisdom of God will produce supernatural signs and wonders. Give me Exodus 4:17. God told Moses, "Take with you this rod, wherewith ye shall be able to do sign." And that rod there is the word of God. Am I communicating? The rod of what? The word. Shall I show you? Okay. Isaiah 11:1. We'll come back here. He said, "Take with you this rod, wherewith thou shalt be able to do sign." I want to show you that rod represents the word of God. And the word of God is the wisdom of God. So with the rod of God's word, or with the rod of God's wisdom, you will be able to produce signs. Supernatural signs. "And there shall come forth a rod." This is a prophecy about the Messiah. Who is that rod? Jesus. Who is Jesus? The Word made flesh. And Christ has been made unto us wisdom. There shall come forth a rod out of the stem of Jesse. Remember, Jesus came from which lineage? It was called the seed of David. Am I communicating? From the stem of Jesse, the father of David. And a branch shall grow out of his root. And then he says, the seven spirits of God shall rest upon him. So, I showed you this to explain that that rod there is talking about the word of God. Am I communicating? And the word of God is the wisdom of God. So, with the wisdom of God, you'll be able to produce signs and wonders. And the wisdom of God will not just empower you to do signs and wonders, it will make you a sign and a wonder to your world. It made Solomon a sign and a wonder. The Queen of Sheba came all the way from her country. All the earth sought audience with Solomon. All the kings came. Why? Solomon became a wonder because he was operating with the wisdom of God. Hallelujah. The wisdom of God. Oh, let me put it this way. Miracles of power are initiated and sustained by the wisdom of God. Miracles of power. I told you there are miracles of wisdom and there are miracles of power. Miracles of power are initiated and sustained by the wisdom of God. All those mighty deeds of power, all those 10 plagues, all those things Moses did in Egypt, you will notice that God will always give him an instruction. When he obeys that instruction, there are mighty miraculous manifestation. These are the instructions of God's wisdom. Am I communicating? So you will see that even the miracles of power, they are initiated by divine wisdom. Are you getting this? Okay, Ephesians 1:17. Let me show you something. Ephesians 1:17. You know when we say Christ the wisdom of God, Christ the power of God, two dimension of the manifestation of the glory of the Christos. I know they are distinct, but they are also connected. I want to show you the connection. The two are related. Okay? Now watch this. It says that God, our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give you the spirit of what? Wisdom and revelation. Okay? That word "and" can also be translated as "for." Okay? So you can read it this way. May give you the spirit of wisdom for revelation. Because the spirit of wisdom is the spirit of revelation. Am I communicating? In Proverbs 1:21, it said, "Turn ye at my reproof, I will pour my spirit upon you and cause you to know my words and reveal my words to you." I said Proverbs 1:23. Is it 20:21? Let me get the right. Check 23. Proverbs 1:23. It said, "Turn ye at my reproof, I will what? Turn you at my reproof. I will pour out my spirit unto you. I will make known my words unto you." This is the spirit of wisdom speaking. I will make known. I will reveal my words to you. I will reveal. So it's the spirit of revelation. Okay. So it says, Paul prayed for the church at Ephesus that he will grant you the spirit of wisdom for revelation in the knowledge of him. Okay, is that, go back to the reading, Ephesians 1:17. Is that full stop? No, 17. Is this full stop? No, it's colon, right? Let's read on. It said, "The eyes of your understanding, being enlightened." Now, watch this. It started by praying for the spirit of wisdom, okay? And I said, That word "and," the Greek word, also means "for," okay? For revelation. Because the wisdom of God, the spirit of wisdom, is a revealer. It will reveal what eyes have not seen, what ears have not heard, what has not entered the heart of men. It says, "The eyes of your understanding," the eyes, ophthalmos, okay? Ophthalmology. The Greek word for eye is ophthalmos. okay, of your understanding, dianoia, faculty of deep thought or imagination, the eyes of your understanding being enlightened, praise God, fortizo, flooded with light, shed light. He said that ye may know. So by the time the eyes of your understanding is enlightened, you will know the following. You will become, that word know is to become aware. Aware. It's talking of awareness, perception. You will perceive. You will become aware of three things. Let's find out those three things. It says that ye may know, number one, what is the hope of his calling? Number one, what? Hope of his calling. That's your high calling in Christ. This one is talking of your divine purpose, God's plan and purpose for your life, your divine destiny, praise God. Your life assignment, praise God. And watch this. By the time you discover, you become aware of your high calling in Christ, the call of God upon your life, your life assignment, why you were born, your divine purpose, your divine destiny. By the time you are aware and you find, follow and fulfill that divine call, won't you do mighty works? You will. Am I communicating? That's the first thing, that the spirit of wisdom will enlighten your eyes to become aware of. I said that word know is a Greek word eido. It means to be aware. Then the second thing is what? What's the second thing that you will know, you will become aware of when the eyes of your understanding is enlightened? Huh? The riches of the glory. Riches of the glory of his inheritance. Praise God. This is talking about your blood-bought inheritance in Christ. All that Jesus has accomplished for you through his finished works. Healing is your inheritance. Prosperity is your inheritance. Favor is your inheritance. All those provision of grace, all the riches of his grace. Am I communicating? Deliverance, name it, everything, protection, preservation, safety, security, everything that Jesus has already procured for you through his finished work, they are part of your inheritance. He's talking of all that belongs to you in Christ, your rights and privileges in Christ. It takes the spirit of wisdom to reveal them to you, to enlighten your eyes so that you can come into what? The experience of it. Am I communicating? And by the time you start walking in your full redemptive rights and privileges, oh, this world will not be able to contain you now. Am I communicating? You will do mighty works. Then the third thing that you become aware of by the time the eyes of your understanding is enlightened is what? Number three. What is the exceeding greatness of his power? The exceeding greatness of his power. The exceeding greatness of his power. Huh? To us word who believe. That's to believers. Can you see the link between Christ the wisdom of God and Christ the power of God? Can you see the link? I told you the two of them, though they are two dimensions, but they are related. Can you see that wisdom is the doorway to power? Save. Watch this. It said by the time the eyes of your understanding is enlightened, you become aware of number one, the hope of his calling. Number two, the riches of the glory of his inheritance. That's your blood-bought inheritance in Christ. All that Jesus has paid for you to enjoy. Then the third thing, he says the exceeding greatness of his power. He uses a superlative term. Upabalo. Ah, it means to throw beyond the mark. As in exceeding. It's an adjective to describe the magnitude of the power. Am I communicating? According, it says, according to the working of his mighty power. In fact, there are three Greek words for power in this one verse alone. The upabalo of the megatos of his dynamis to us, what who pistio, according to the energies of his iskus kratos. Literal Greek. Three Greek words for power. Number one, dynamis. The exceeding greatness of his dynamis. Miracle working power. Ability. According to the working of his iskus. Iskus talks of forcefulness. Force. Strength. Then, power is kratos. Kratos, it means to be great with mighty power. And it also means dominion. And actually, this is the power that raised Jesus from the dead. It's the power of the resurrection. Because if you read the next verse, verse 20, watch this. It says, which he wrought in Christ. So he's describing the power that raised Jesus from the dead. Which he wrought in Christ when he raised him from the dead and set him at his own right hand. So it's a power that will not just raise somebody from the dead. It will place the person higher. At his right hand in heavenly places. Far above. Next verse. Not near above. It's a far above. I say not near above. Far above all principality and power and might and dominion. Every name that is named not only in this world but also in that which is to come. 22. And had put all things under his feet and gave him to be head over all things to the church. Next verse. Which is his body, the fullness of him that filleth all in all. Can you shout amen?
Amen.
Now go back to verse 19. I'm trying to show you how the spirit of wisdom for revelation will enlighten your understanding so that you become aware of, number one, the hope of your calling, number two, your inheritance in Christ, number three, the greatness of God's power. And when you come into that awareness, when you come into that awareness of the greatness of his power, you will start walking in the power. In the New Testament, you will never see anybody praying for power. Rather, the prayer is always to come to the revelation knowledge of what you already have. And that's what the spirit of wisdom will do for you. Even in Philippians 3:10, let's check. Philippians 3:10. The only prayer in the New Testament is for more grace, not more power. Watch this. Paul said that I may know him and what? Can you see a connection? That I may know him, revelation. That I may know him, revelation. And then know his power. He didn't say, God, give me more power. Did you see something? Am I talking to myself today? Are you flowing? He said that I may know him and the power. And who will reveal this to him? Somebody said the spirit of wisdom. The spirit of wisdom. Okay, 1 Corinthians 2:9. 1 Corinthians 2:9. It says, eyes have not seen, ears have not heard, it has not entered the heart of men. The things which God has what? Prepared for them that love him. Verse 10. But God has what? Revealed them to us by his spirit. And if you read this in context, the spirit is the spirit of wisdom. So the spirit of wisdom will reveal to you what eyes have not seen, what ears have not heard, what has not entered the hearts of men. Are you seeing something? It's better than Google, the search engine. The spirit of wisdom. Kaleboko seketena. He said, he searched all things, but God has revealed them to us. How? By his spirit. For the spirit searched all things, yea, the deep things of God. In other words, through the revelation you are receiving from the Holy Spirit, from the spirit of wisdom, you can sight the invisible, you can hear the inaudible,
You can believe the incredible so that you will do the impossible, so that you will produce mighty works. Can you shout amen?
Amen.
Verse 11. It says, for what man knoweth the things of a man, even except the spirit of man which is in him? In other words, your spirit knows everything about you. Even so, the things of God knoweth not man, but what? The spirit of God. Next verse. It says, now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the spirit which is of God, that we might know, that we might become aware. Is that what I do again? Hey, you know, you can have something, but if you are not aware, you won't be able to take advantage of it. The Holy Spirit, the spirit of wisdom, ensures that you are aware, that we might know the things that are freely given to us of God. Is it not talking about your inheritance? Is it not this number two? It's talking of your inheritance, the things that are freely given to us, so that Satan will not cheat you out of ignorance, or Satan will not deceive you using his deception. Am I communicating? That we might know the things that are freely given to us of God. Next verse. He said, which things also we speak, not in words which man's wisdom teacheth, but in words which the Holy Ghost teacheth, comparing what? Spiritual things with spiritual. He said, which things we speak, as the spirit of wisdom reveals those things to you, don't be quiet about them. As he reveals to you your inheritance, what Jesus has bought for you, healing is yours, prosperity is yours, success is yours, anything that does not resemble your blood-bought inheritance, don't accept it, don't settle for it. Am I communicating? With this we speak. We speak wisdom, the wisdom of God in a mystery. You know, when we speak in tongues, we are speaking wisdom. The people of the world, they don't understand us, but we are speaking wisdom. God understands. The angels understand. It's an esoteric communication. Sheliko barakatai. When you go, you check your bank account and it's in red or it's 2 naira 50 kobo. You speak wisdom. Be filled to overflow. Money I have. Dollars I have. Millions I have. People look at you, they say you are crazy, but you are speaking wisdom. You check the doctor, they say you have cancer. They say you have HIV, you have hepatitis. You say, from the crown of my head to the sole of my feet, I am the healed of the Lord. By his stripes I am healed. 2,000 years ago, himself took away the cancer. Himself took away the diabetes. Himself took away the hepatitis. Himself took away the peptic ulcer disease. And what he took, I don't have. And by his stripes, I am the heal of the Lord. Therefore, my body is not a dumping ground for sickness. My body is a temple of the Holy Ghost. And the Spirit of God lives in me. And if the Spirit of He that raised Christ from the dead shall dwell in you, it shall give life, it shall quicken your mortal body. He said, my body is quickened. Life is entering me now. Every sickness, get out. See, when you are talking God's word like that, you are speaking wisdom. You may not make sense to the people of the world, but you are speaking wisdom. I hear Kenneth Copeland. Hiya, Kenneth Copeland. At a particular age, he was running some medical tests so that they will check his medical fitness to fly plane. You know, he's a pilot. He's a trained pilot. So as they were checking his eardrum, the doctor checked. I said, ah, sir, it's as if there is problem. Can a couple say, no, my eardrum is perfect. He said, check again. The doctor checked. And then he said, sir, these are finding some of the parameter. As he discovered there is problem. Then he said something is wrong with your instrument. He said, use another one. He said, change it. He said, my eardrum is perfect. So the doctor went to bring another one. He decided to change the instrument. So when he left the consulting room, before he came, Kenneth Copeland put hand on that ear. He said, in the name of Jesus, I command every abnormality corrected. I command the eardrum to be normal. Function perfectly. The doctor came with the new one. He checked. He said, it's as if something is happening here. He checked again. He said, it's normal. Can you go back? I told you. I said, my ear is normal. Your instrument is faulty. See, somebody said we speak wisdom. We are not normal. This life is not for normal people. It's not be everybody where they talk to himself, they crazy. You know, sometimes, you know, the economy is depressing. So many cases of depression. Some people are even committing suicide. You need to start talking. Some of you are too quiet. Ketobakatakapata. You enter the exam or you check all the question 1 to question 5 and you seem not to know anyone. Close arm. Shagatagadagabalakata. Start activating wisdom. Prophet Moyo said there was an exam that they enter hall. It's as if nobody knows the question. The lecturer, wicked lecturer, he brought very even things he didn't teach them, he brought. Konemoyo said he closed the thing and started blasting in tongues. See, when you pray in tongues, you are speaking wisdom. You are activating the wisdom of God. Suddenly, divine intelligence. You will start operating with the mind of Christ. He said you have an unction from the Holy One. You know all things. So activate the anointing. He said he prayed in tongues, activated wisdom. He answered all the questions, gave the answer. They brought the result of a lot of people failed. Him, he got an A. Somebody said the wisdom of God is at work in me. You are not dull. Kasilapa. There is no course that is too hard for you. There is no exam that is too hard for you. Mortal men wrote a textbook and you say you read, you don't understand. I don't understand. Shatakaba. If you understand Bible that God wrote, which other book will you not understand? The spirit of wisdom will teach you all things. It will bring all things to your remembrance. All this is every time I enter exam hall, I fire blank. I go blank. Anytime I read for 10 hours, I read for 3 hours. Once I enter hall, the thing will go blank. In the name of Jesus, the wisdom of God is putting an end to that blank. You will read, you will remember, you will assimilate, you will recall. No more forgetting, no more reading and forgetting. Every spirit that is making you to go blank, I cast it out of your life in the name of Jesus. The wisdom of God makes you operate with supernatural intelligence. You become a super intelligential. It increases your IQ. You know, even medical research have proved that when you are praying in tongues, your IQ goes up. It increases your IQ, praying in tongues. Are you aware? Even your memory increases. Shatakabaya. Was it not John G. Lake? They put electrode on his brain. And they were measuring the intelligence quotient. And he started praying. He was praying in English. The thing was increasing small. Then he switched to tongue. Likoto palatai. And he started praying in tongue. The thing was increasing like this. Increasing. Until he got to the highest limit and fell off. In other words, the machine could not measure his intelligent quotient. Some of you don't know the benefit of praying in tongues. If you know, you will take this thing serious. Before you go for any exam, take at least 10, 15 minutes at blasting tongues. And see whether you will fail. I know you read, but do you mix it? Do you activate the wisdom of God? So all this missing script. Try this method now and see whether script go miss. Angels will ensure nothing miss. In fact, angels, as the lecturer is marking the script, the angels will ensure that once it comes to your turn, favor must speak for you. That is when the lecturer will hear one good news. It's why we just come and give him one kiss on his head. And your script is next.
Angels will start orchestrating things in your favor. Are you getting me? That business, that contract we go through. Because when you speak in tongues, you are speaking the wisdom of God. And you are giving instruction to angels. You are speaking in tongues of angels. Languages that angels understand and communicate with. You go to check your last semester result. You saw you had an F, 32. Instead of behaving like mortal men, speak wisdom. Speak wisdom. You look at it, they say, whose report shall we believe? To whom is the arm of the Lord revealed? I choose God's report, and his report says I'm the head and not the tail. And I'm above and above only, I'm not beneath. I have the wisdom of God. I have the mind of Christ. Christ has been made unto me wisdom. In Christ I hid all treasures of wisdom and knowledge. And that Christ is in me. And I have received an anointing from the Holy One. I know all things. You are not who lecturer say you are. You are who God says you are. Stop defining yourself based on people's opinion. Manda palatiza balatai. Are you getting me? It looked as if there is no food in the house. Instead of complaining, you say, the Lord is my shepherd. The Lord is my breadwinner. The Lord is my financier. The Lord is my caretaker. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. La batizo baladia. He leads me beside the still water. Kando boleketia. He leads me in the path of righteousness for his name's sake. He makes me lie down in green pasture. I am seated in abundance. I am positioned in abundance. I'm like the tree planted by rivers of water. My leaves do not go dry. Evergreen. I bring forth my fruit in my season. Supernatural fruitfulness. He said, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pasture. He leads me beside the still water. He restored my soul. He leads me in the path of righteousness for his name's sake. Yet though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I shall fear no evil. For thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of my enemies. Thou anointest test my head with oil. My cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy are following me all the days of my life, and I am living in the house of the Lord. This is how to talk. This is how to dominate circumstances. You speak the wisdom of God. He said, which things we speak, not in words which man's wisdom teacheth. In other words, there are words that men's wisdom teach. For instance, men's wisdom say, if you don't have money in your account, say, I am broke. Give me that scripture again. 1 Corinthians 2. He said, which things we speak, not in words which man's wisdom teacheth. That means there are words that man's wisdom teaches you to say. Say, doctor did scan, they saw fibroid. Man's wisdom say you should say that I have fibroid. They check blood sugar, it was very high. Man's wisdom teaches that you should say I have diabetes, I have asthma. But is that what the wisdom of God teaches? Hey. Give me that 1 Corinthians 2 that we are talking about. He said, which things we speak. You can't be quiet. Listen, every silent Christian, we end up a failure. This world is an arena of war. And you cannot win the good fight of faith except you win the war of words.
David first finished Goliath with his words before he threw a stone. Go and read the story. The words that David spoke were more than the one Goliath spoke. So it's a war of words. Shatter the word of God against the words of men. The word of God against what is happening. When Jesus stood before the fig tree, he was hungry. He came to pluck fruit, and there was no fruit, only leaves. And the Bible said Jesus answered it. If it was in our day, they would say Jesus on kolo. Jesus is talking to a tree. Jesus, that, for, the Bible said he answered it. That means the fig tree was making a comment. It was making a statement. He answered it. When last did you answer your bank account? Bank sent you alert. 2 naira 50 kobo. Did you answer it? Or you just accepted defeat? Ayagabalatai. You felt pain somewhere. Did you answer it? You felt shake. Did you answer it? You used the word of God and respond. When there was storm in that journey, the Bible said, trust and rebuke the wind and the wave. He said, peace be still. You learn to respond and answer the problems of life. Don't just be quiet. That family crisis, are you answering them with the word of God? We speak wisdom. You say, Maggi don't finish. Rice don't finish. Granite oil don't finish. You say, nothing finishes in this house. You start speaking wisdom. You look at the storehouse, be filled to overflow. My God supply all my needs. My God supplies all my needs according to his riches in glory, not according to Nigerian economy. My supplies is not according to federal government allocation. My supplies are not according to how much my parents are sending me as allowance. My supplies is not according to my husband's salary. My supplies is not according to the prices of things or the exchange rate of dollar to naira. It's according to his riches in glory. Your confession must be strong and robust, not a lean one. Because the war is very fierce. You too, you need to be a militant. You need to be forceful. It takes a continual insistence. And sometimes when you start talking like that, things may appear to go from bad to worse. You know, sometimes you speak and things change immediately. There are times that you speak, it will be as if it's because you even spoke that things went worse. You should know that you are at war. When they told Jesus, your friend Lazarus, whom you love, is sick, Satan heard it and killed Lazarus. What did Satan hear? He heard when Jesus said, this sickness is not unto death. So sometimes things go from bad to worse, even after you have confessed your faith confession. But does that mean you should give up? No. You should become like Agbero at that point. You should become more rugged. You should ruggedize your confession. This time around, mix it with tongues. Who won at the end? Was it not Jesus? Did Jesus give up? There are some manifestations that they follow, they happen immediately, some miracles, when you speak. Then there are those that it will require long time abode days, speaking boldly in the Lord, who granted testimony unto the word of his grace, and granted that signs and wonders be wrought. But notice, before the signs and wonders were wrought, they abode long time, not short time, long time, speaking boldly. Acts chapter 14, verse 3. Long time abode. So there are times you have to sit on the matter. Sheteke balatai. And then you start blasting in tongues. And then after activating the anointing, you start releasing fiery words. Malasutekebaya. Am I communicating? You start releasing words, prophetic words. You start prophesying the rhema you received. For a long time, you stay on it until there is a change. You don't chicken out. Long time, not short time. Long time, therefore, abode they. What were they doing for a long time? Please help me. What were they doing for a long time? Speaking. How come you speak for only 5 minutes and gave up? You spoke for a few minutes just because there was no positive change, you gave up. Is that not how Satan has wearied you out? Long time. You look at the situation and say, look, if one person will give up, it's not going to be me. I'm going to weary you. You tell the devil, I will weary you. I will not give up. You put the word of God in your heart and in your mouth, and you stay on the matter and keep declaring the word. Long time, about the speaking boldly, with boldness. That is how the testimony will come. And then the signs and wonders will follow. The word of God always work when you know how to work it. You don't give up too easily. You need to understand something about the devil. The devil doesn't give up that easily. You must know how to weary him out in a warfare. Manganda sapalatai. You let difficulty know that you are more difficult than it. Am I communicating? You know, we are gentle in the physical, but when it comes to spiritual things, we get dreadlocks. We get dreadlocks, so. Are you getting me? When it comes to spiritual things, you need to be forceful. You can't be gentle. You can't be gentle. He said, from the days of John the Baptist until now, the kingdom of God suffered violence. The violent take, you need to take it by force. You need to be forceful. A share in this kingdom is being sought with the most ardent zeal and intense exertion. Doctors gave you 3 months, say because of your condition, 3 months. And that 3 months, you are watching movie. Hello, Bokosa. The sickness is what, the cancer is walking day and night to kill you, and you are watching movie. You have serious matter to deal with, and you are watching a Nigerian movie, African Magic. You don't know your priority. See, God forbid, though, but if doctor diagnosed me of anything today, I know how to kill it, I swear. I know what to do. I will kill that thing before it kills me. I told you people, entering into problem is not as bad as not knowing what to do to solve it. When you know what to do, you won't be afraid. Malasko tetila afretetena jatisko pakatai. Aya. You need to exert yourself. Because right now things are tough. You too, you need to be tough. You need to be tough. This is how to dominate. Mandeke palatiza brantakapa. Ekoto sekete leketia. Zabatizo brandakapata. You see, husband and wife, they were head over heels in love with each other before marriage. But they just married. First week of marriage, they are beginning to irritate each other. Just for no reason. Sudden indignation. That's when it looks as if the food is having too much pepper. It looks like it's having too much salt. The husband is just angry for nothing. Don't you know that we have an adversary?
Bible says, be sober, be vigilant. We have an adversary. He doesn't like marriage. He was watching how your husband was loving you. You are loving him back. He doesn't like it. So he will attack from everywhere. The Bible says, least Satan should have an advantage over us. We are not ignorant of his what? His devices. You take your stand. He said, I've been done all. Stand. Mandekeba. Sit down. Let me round up with this. Are you ready to pray? Write this down. Five miraculous deeds of wisdom. Luke 7:35. Five miraculous deeds of wisdom. Number one, supernatural skill and understanding. Supernatural skill and understanding. The wisdom of God will impart to you supernatural skill. There is a kind of skill you get by training. That's wonderful. There is a kind of skill you get from secular institution, but there is supernatural impartation of skill that comes from the spirit of wisdom. Am I communicating? Daniel 9:21. The first time Angel Gabriel was sent from heaven with a message to a man called Daniel on earth, it was to give him skill and understanding. Somebody says skill and understanding. The angel Gabriel imparted wisdom for supernatural skill and understanding to Daniel. No wonder Daniel was skillful and he had understanding in all visions, all dreams. He was skillful in interpreting dreams. He was skillful in solving problems in the political arena. You know, most of the times, I was telling people that there are miracles of power, then there are miracles of what? Wisdom. In most of the marketplace in the world, whether it is leadership or governor or political or business world, most of the times, what they are looking for is for believers to bring what we call the wisdom of God to the table. To use it to solve problems. The wisdom of God will give you supernatural problem solving skills. And if you know how to solve problem, the demand for you will be very high. That was the secret of Daniel's perpetual relevance. Am I communicating? He became eternally perpetually relevant through different dispensation and government, because he had what? Supernatural skill and understanding that the spirit of wisdom gave him. Am I communicating? This is very interesting. See, while I was speaking in prayer, even the man Gabriel, who I'm seeing in the vision at the beginning, being caused to fly swift. Sometimes when you pray for money, what God gives you is supernatural skill. The wisdom of God will give you skill and understanding. And by the time you engage it, you become highly valuable. You create valuable product, valuable services, and you get rewarded with more than enough money. Even more than the one you were praying for. Are you getting me? Nothing sells like skill. Skill will attract reward. Financial reward, etc. It says, whom I had seen, the man Gabriel, whom I had seen in the vision at the beginning, being caused to fly swiftly, touched me about the time of the evening oblation. 22. It says, he informed me and talked with me and said, oh Daniel, I am now come for to give thee what? Skill and what? Understanding. Bezalel and Oholiab, who gave them their skill and understanding? It was the spirit of God, the spirit of wisdom. They didn't learn it from school. What Harvard will not teach you, the spirit of wisdom will teach you. The skill that you could not get from Institute of what, serve in Boston, Massachusetts? MIT. What you cannot learn from MIT, the spirit of wisdom can teach you. Can give you such supernatural skill. supernatural skill. I heard the testimony of a particular man in Idahosa's church. Idahosa one day was led to raise some seed. He said, and then he was under anointing. He said, you, the Lord said you will give 500,000. The man said, He said, Papa, you know my condition. God is their pastor. You understand? At least pastors know everybody's level. And the truth is that at that point, if you carry the man, shake him upside down, even 10,000 will not come out. But he was under anointing. He said, you, for this church project, you will give 500,000. The man said, Papa, you know my. He said, shut up, I'm under anointing. The man said, amen, amen. Yeah, I agree with Papa Idahosa. Then the following day on Monday, this was on Sunday, he went to work. And he works like all this technician in a particular company. And there was a problem with one of the company machine. And usually that machine, anytime there is problem, they have to fly white men, expatriates, to come and repair it. Because the engineers that fix it, they are not in Nigeria. You understand? They have to bring them, is it from Germany. They have to fly them in. Then the company will lodge them in hotel, feed them, all those logistics, for the days they will spend, the company will pay for everything, and then they will go back. So now, the machine is down. So they were now talking, okay, what are we going to do now? We have to inform them. And the man was there, this particular man in Idahosa's church. So he was there. Him is just a technician, he's not even an engineer. He didn't know when the thing just flew out of his mouth. He said, I can repair it. His boss turned and looked. He said, what did you say? He said, I can repair it. The man said, you drink something. Are you high on something also? You know, he said, sir, I can try. They said, okay, no harm in trying. They allow him to go and try. The guy said, well, he entered. He saw different wires here and there. And he didn't even know. But the spirit of wisdom moved him and started telling him what to do. He said, touch here, hit here. See, long story cut short, the guy fixed the machine. The boss shouted. He said, what? It's okay, the money that we used to spend, the budget, to bring expatriate, they now gave him the money. Guy became a millionaire. And he was able to give that 500,000. Somebody says supernatural skill. You will do things, oh, hey. You go surprise people. What they said nobody can do, you will do. The wisdom of God will empower you to do the impossible. In Daniel 1:20, the Bible says, in all matters concerning wisdom and understanding, the king inquired of them. He found Daniel, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego 10 times better. In Luke 24:45, Jesus opened their understanding that they may understand the scripture by breathing on them. He said, receive ye the Holy Ghost. John 20:21. So it was an impartation of the breath of wisdom. It was the wisdom of God that taught Abraham military tactics, military intelligence and skill, that he was able to train those 318 trained servants that went after that bully king, Chedorlaomer, and conquered him and collected all the spoil, including Lot. Am I communicating? It was the wisdom of God that gave to David supernatural skill in military warfare. The Bible says David operated with the wisdom of an angel. That's 2 Samuel 14:20. Joab said his master David, the kind of wisdom he was operating is the wisdom of an angel. And guess what? David fought 66 battles, he didn't lose anyone. Who was teaching him
those military intelligence who was giving him the supernatural skill in military warfare. Somebody say the spirit of wisdom. Joshua did not lose any battle against the, except the one against Ai, that small city, Ai, because of this guy. What's that his name now? That went and carried accostings and hid. Eh? Help me with his name now. Achan. How was Joshua able to conquer Jericho and all of that? It's the spirit of wisdom that gave him supernatural skill and understanding. Glory to God. Psalm 119 verse 98. Look at what David said. He said, I understand more than my teachers. Okay, he started by saying, thou through thy commandment, that's the word of God, has made me wiser than my enemies. So the wisdom of God makes you wiser than your enemies. For they are ever with me. 99. He said, I have more understanding than all my teachers. Hey, students writing exam, listen to me. There is a kind of wisdom you will operate. You answer question 1A. And the answer you gave, by the time the lecturer mark it, he will say, what? He said, even what I planned to teach that I was not able to teach because of time, this person is now supplying it in the answer. That means you are operating with a superior wisdom. Am I communicating? There is even the one that after reading your answer script, your lecturer is educated on that matter. And you think he will fail you? That's, he went through your answer script and he is learning about that subject from the answer you gave. Praise God. You know, when you watch some Kenneth Hagin, you listen to some Kenneth Hagin cassette, you will hear small children crying in the background. So no problem, we are in good company. No be only us. He said, I have more understanding than all my teachers. Hey, for thy testimonies are my meditation. Will you learn to meditate on the word of God to absorb wisdom? Verse 10. Okay, verse 100. He said, I understand more than the ancient. I understand more than Aristotle, Plato, and Socrates. I understand more than the old men of old. Are you getting me? Because I keep thy precept. Number two, we are looking at the miraculous deeds of wisdom. I said the wisdom of God imparts supernatural skill and understanding, number one. And these highly valuable skills will solve problems and provide solution and meet human needs. Number two, divine creativity and craftsmanship. The wisdom of God grants you supernatural creativity and craftsmanship. Give me Exodus 28 verse 3. Exodus 28 verse 3. Creativity and what? Craftsmanship. Creativity and craftsmanship. It makes you a creative genius. It says, and thou shalt speak unto all the wise hearted, whom I have filled with what? The spirit of wisdom, that they may make Aaron's garments to consecrate him, that he may minister unto me in the priest's office. God needed to anoint people with the spirit of wisdom, that we give them creativity and craftsmanship, so that they will even make Aaron's garments. Now give me Exodus 31 verse 1. Exodus 31 verse 1. Let's find out those people. And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, next verse, see, I have called by name Bezalel, the son of Uri, of the tribe of Judah. Next verse. And I have filled him with what? The spirit of God, in wisdom, in understanding, in knowledge, in all manner of workmanship. Somebody say craftsmanship. In all manner, they could work in all, in brass, in metal, all of the, they didn't learn it from any school. The spirit of wisdom taught them. Next verse. To devise cunning works, to work in gold. See, the spirit of wisdom can teach you more than you can ever imagine. Are you into all these kind of works? Why don't you pray for wisdom?
and trust God for impartation of wisdom and see how it will move your work to another dimension. It says to devise cunning work, to work in gold, in silver, in brass, next verse, and in cutting of stones, to set them, in carving of timber, to work all manner of workmanship, next verse. And behold, I have given with him Aholiab, the son of Ahisamach, of the tribe of Dan, in the house of all who are wise hearted, I have put wisdom, that they may make all that I have commanded thee. Are you aware? These were the people that through the operation of God's wisdom, manifesting in creativity and craftsmanship, they were the people that built the tabernacle of Moses. And everything inside, they made it, including Aaron's garment. And they did not learn it from any school. They didn't go through any secular training. The spirit of wisdom taught them. Am I communicating? I'm not saying you shouldn't do training. I'm telling you what the spirit of wisdom can do. The next one, witty invention and innovation. Proverbs 8:12. Witty invention and innovation. We are looking at the miraculous deeds of wisdom. Miraculous deeds. Some of you don't know that all these are miracles of wisdom. Okay, if somebody get healed of maybe peptic ulcer, or the person got healed of a eye condition or hair condition or any other form of miracles or power that we know, we celebrate. But what of miracles of wisdom? If God gives somebody now a breakthrough discovery, you don't know it's a miracle of wisdom. Okay, I told you about George Washington Carver. From peanut, he produced 324 products from peanut. Are these not miracles too? Is it because, wait. If blind eyes or deaf ears open, we celebrate that one, but what of the miracles of wisdom, like this one? From potato, he came up sweet potato. 100 and something product. Are they not miracles of wisdom? If God give you an idea now to create an application, and then that application turns you into a multi-millionaire, now that creativity, that creative idea, is that not a miracle of wisdom? R.G. Letonio, that invented earth moving equipment and all of that, is that not miracle of wisdom? When I said we know about miracles of power, and most of us, we are not acquainted with miracles of wisdom, I was not joking. I told you it was in a dream that this person discovered, Albert Einstein, he discovered the theory of relativity in a dream. Is that not a miracle of wisdom? Even Frederick Banting that discovered insulin, it was in a dream. Your dream will not be normal again, no? Was it not in a dream that Solomon received impartation of wisdom? Why are you dreaming and they are pressing your own neck in a dream? Others are receiving wisdom impartation, creative ideas, innovations. Am I communicating? Look at what wisdom said. I, wisdom, dwell with prudence, and I find out what? Knowledge or witty invention. Wisdom will give you witty invention. Praise God. This Russian chemist that discovered the periodic table, Dmitri Mendeleev, it was in a dream. He saw even the arrangement of the elements in a dream. In a dream. Somebody say creativity. Somebody say witty invention. Malaga Bagadaya. It is said that Sir Isaac Newton, all those his Newtonian laws and all his exploits in physics, one of his major secrets is that when he died, they saw boxes inside his bedroom of scriptures. Boxes of scriptures. various parts of the Bible that he will sit down and be meditating for hours. He will so meditate on the scripture that wisdom will be imparted, and then before you know, Newton's first law of motion, Newton's second law of motion, Newton's third law of motion, all those Newtonian laws used in mechanics that they apply. Somebody say wisdom. The word of God is wisdom bank. Write it down. The word of God is wisdom bank. 2 Chronicles 26:15. King Uzziah, by the wisdom of God, the Bible says he invented engines. He made in Jerusalem what? Engines. He was marvelously helped of God. But watch this. He said he made in Jerusalem engines invented by what? Cunning men. And when you talk of cunning, you are talking about wisdom. Am I communicating? Say, I receive wisdom for supernatural creativity. May God give you a creative idea, innovative idea that will solve problem, that will turn you into a multi-millionaire and a multi-billionaire while solving problems. If God gives you money, and then God gives you a creative, innovative idea, which one is better? If he gives you money, you will finish it, and that's all. But if he gives you a problem-solving idea in form of an invention, a breakthrough, discovery, something, do you know that that have settled you for life? Even your generation. Now watch, Mark Zuckerberg, this guy that invented the blue application, Facebook. It was an idea. Am I communicating? Was that not an idea? How poor he is. If God had given him money, will it have been compared to the idea God gave him? That takes me to the third point. Breakthrough ideas. We are looking at fourth point. Breakthrough ideas, discoveries, concept, and insights. The fourth miraculous deed of wisdom is breakthrough ideas, discoveries, concept, and insight. It was in a dream of the night in Genesis chapter 30 verse 25 to 33 and Genesis 31:10 to 12 that the angel of the Lord revealed to Jacob a supernatural method of breeding cattle. He received a divine insight, a divine idea. The Holy Ghost showed him something through that angel, and when he applied it, he became a rich man. Am I communicating? He became a successful businessman after years of frustration and failure. In Ephesians 1:17, he said, God give you the spirit of wisdom for revelation. Amplified says, insight into mysteries and secrets. There are many of you that you will write books that will sell like wildfire. Books that will solve problems. Book that will bring people out of depression and discouragement. Books that will give hope to the hopeless world. Books that will bring healing to those that are hurting and dying. Am I communicating? Do you know writing is a manifestation of wisdom? Apostle Paul wrote 14 out of the 27 New Testament books. And Apostle Peter made us understand in 2 Peter 3:15 that Apostle Paul wrote according to the wisdom that was at work in him. There was a dimension of wisdom that God gave Paul that was responsible for the revelation that he assessed concerning Christ. And he put them in writing. Am I communicating? Every man writes according to his wisdom. Everybody teaches and understands the Bible according to the dimension of wisdom God have allocated to them. Am I communicating? It says, our brother Paul, our beloved brother Paul, according to the wisdom given unto him, had he written. So he wrote all those 14 epistles according to wisdom. And you know, books are called intellectual property of people. It's a property. Just like you have landed property. Just like you have physical property. There's what we call intellectual property, and it can be monetized. It can be monetized. People write books, they put it on Amazon, they put it where again? They even pay them. If you go and plagiarize somebody's material, you can be charged to court. So ideas can be monetized. I say ideas can be monetized. Then number five, divine discernment and direction. Wisdom gives you divine discernment and direction. This talks of guidance, divine guidance and divine leading. Ecclesiastes 10:10, wisdom is profitable to direct. And when you follow that direction, you enjoy sound judgment and sound decision making. You make the right decision. 1 Kings 3:16-28. You see that popular decision that Solomon made after he received wisdom. I've said it before, wisdom has only one source, God himself. Proverbs 2:6. Wisdom comes from God through his word and through his spirit. Wisdom comes from God, that's the wisdom of God. It comes from him through his word and through his spirit. It says, for the Lord giveth wisdom, out of his mouth cometh knowledge and understanding. The word of God is the wisdom of God. Luke 11:49. It says, thus saith the wisdom of God. He said, therefore also said the wisdom of God, I will send them prophets, apostles, some of them they shall slay and persecute. So you see, he said, therefore also said the wisdom of God. And he went on to quote the scriptures. He quoted the word of God. That means the word of God is the wisdom of God. Am I communicating? The Holy Spirit is the spirit of wisdom. We see that in Ephesians 1:17, Isaiah 11:2. What are the channels of accessing wisdom? Number one, through a strong desire. Proverbs 18:1. It says, through desire, a man, having separated himself, seeketh an intermediate with all wisdom. Through desire, a man, having separated himself, seeketh a strong desire that moves you to separate yourself from the crowd and to seek wisdom. Desire talks of intense longing, deep yearning, a strong, passionate crave for something. You must be highly desirous of wisdom. Number two, channel of accessing wisdom. Talking of divine wisdom, meditation. Joshua 1:8. Meditation. This book of the law shall not depart out of your mouth. You shall meditate therein day and night, that you may observe to do according to all that is written therein, for then you make your way prosperous, you will have good success. The Amplified say you will deal wisely in the affairs of life. So you meditate. See, the wisest people I know that walk in the wisdom of God, they spend quality time in meditation. In fact, they meditate at least 15 minutes every day. Don't just live your life anyhow. Learn to meditate. 2 Timothy 3:15. Paul wrote to Timothy. He said, thou from childhood you've known the holy scriptures, which are able to make thee wise. So the scripture imparts wisdom. Am I communicating? Learn to meditate on God's word. David said, I understand more than my teachers. Thy word has been my meditation. We read it in Psalm 119:98-100. I understand more than the ancient, because he was meditating on the word of God. Number three, channel to access divine wisdom is fervent prayers. James 1:5 is, if any man lack wisdom, let him ask of God. In Ephesians 1:17, Apostle Paul prayed for the church at Ephesus that God will give you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him. For Paul to pray that for them, that means they were not functioning in that dimension. So prayers. We'll soon pray. When it's time to pray, pray, because something will drop on you. Am I communicating? Partition of the spirit of wisdom. You learn to pray in the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. You learn to pray in the Spirit.
the more you pray in tongues, there is a linear relationship between praying in tongues and walking in wisdom. When you pray in the spirit, you are activating the wisdom of God. Number four, channel assessing for assessing wisdom is observation and association with a wise company. Observation and association with a wise company. Wisdom can come by association. Proverbs 6, 6 to 11, Proverbs 24, 30 to 34. You will see where Solomon observed from the ant. He said, go to the sluggard. Go to the ant, ye sluggard. Learn our ways and be wise. So wisdom can come through observation. Also in Proverbs 24, 30 to 34. He said, I went by the field of the lazy man, the slothful. And then he saw and then he absorbed wisdom. I went by the field of the slothful, by the vineyard of the man void of understanding. Next verse. Lo, it was all grown, covered with thorns, nettles, covered everywhere. Next verse. Then I saw and considered it well and looked upon it and received instruction. The instruction of wisdom. What did he get? Next verse. Look at what he received. Verse 33. Yet a little sleep, a little slumber, a little folding of the hands to sleep. What will happen? So shall thy poverty come as one that traveleth, thy want as a man. Look up. Make sure your hands are doing something. The main channel God blesses us is through the works of our hands. Ask yourself, what am I doing? What valuable goods and services am I providing? What valuable skills do I have that I can trade for money? You know, most of the times Christians, they pray, they give, they tithe, but they are not doing anything through which the blessing, the returns on their giving, the harvest will come to them. Am I communicating? Make sure you are doing something so that God can channel your harvest to come to you. Don't be lazy. Am I communicating? Because, listen. When you give, when you tithe, your harvest comes. And the blessing, I mean material and financial blessing, and the other blessings on your giving, they come through the works of your hands. They come to you. Your harvest comes through the works of your hands. It may come in form of divine idea. It may come in form of creativity. It may come in form of breakthrough ideas, concept and insight. It may come in form of favor upon whatever you are doing. Am I communicating? It will come in form of wisdom. It may come in form of customers, more customers, doors opening for you, connections to people you need. But once you are doing nothing, there is nothing for the blessing to rest upon. And that is usually the problem with many believers. God's system of prospering the Levite is different from the way he prospers the other members of his children that are non-Levites. For instance, now, me, I can give testimony that I sowed, I gave so-so seed, I gave to God this, and then God moved somebody to give me a harvest of so-so amount. Now, you that is not called to the fivefold, you'll be mistaken to think that that is how your own returns will come. No, your own will not come that way. Your own will come in form of divine ideas, wisdom, favor, open doors, more customers, more opportunities. Are you getting the point? Because we need to teach these things. That is how your own will come majorly. Your harvest will not necessarily come through somebody coming to give you double of what you sow. Not necessarily. I'm showing you how your own harvest comes. It comes in form of divine wisdom, divine ideas, concept, insight, creative ideas, innovative ideas, creativity, craftsmanship, open doors, doors of opportunities, favor with God and men. Am I communicating? Connections, strategic connections and alliances. So you must know the difference. My own will come that way because that's my business. Is this not my business?
This is my business. So people will bless me. People will, some of you say after this service you will send me seed. Is this one not? Huh? I'm doing my work now. You think it's easy to come out with this message? You know how many hours of studies and prayer went into this? Yesterday I was here, ministry festival of fire. How many hours? And I was in the radio station in the morning. And Friday, I was in the radio station again. Some people think that pastors know the work. During 21 days prayer in January, I was preaching every day for 21 days. Every single day. Minus radio station preaching. You know, we were meeting for 21 solid days. And some people say pastors know the work. I go there counseling. Sometimes one person can take 2 hours. They will tell you all their story. And I allow people to talk. Express themselves. By the time you are done, you will be feeling drained self. And some people think pastors are not working. It's only those carrying concrete, they think they are working. Oh. It's work. Interceding for you is work. Preaching, preparing a message service, impactful message. Oh, because tomorrow somebody will listen to this message and send me serious money and get blessed. Yeah. There was a woman in Abuja that listened to one of our message. From the message, she received idea to start business. And she called me and said she received this idea to start this business when she listened to one of my messages. She said God told her that she should start partnering with AGMI every month. And since that time, she's still partnering till today. Till Jesus comes, she will be partnering. Is that not how somebody will listen to this message tomorrow and receive another idea? And receive a breakthrough? And his eyes will open. He will start something. And later, by the time they bless me with private jet, you will say all these preachers, they don't come again. Were you there when I was laboring to come out with the message? Are you getting me? Praise God. Ministry is work. Oh. And God go pay you. Now God they pay us. He uses people like you. Praise God. Proverbs 13:20, he that walketh with wise men shall be wise, and the companion of fools shall be destroyed. So associate with the wife. The last one is divine encounter and impartation of the Spirit. Deuteronomy 34 verse 9, and Joshua the son of Nun was full of the spirit of wisdom, for Moses the man of God has what? Laid hands on him. Impartation. Through the laying on of hands, he received an impartation of the spirit of wisdom. In 1 Kings 3, 5 to 15, Solomon encountered God in the dream of the night after he gave to God a record-breaking 1,000 burnt offering. God was impressed. He showed up. Solomon encountered God in that dream, and God gave him a blank check. What do you want? He said, give me wisdom. And God said, I have given you wisdom. He received an impartation. Some of you, in your dream, God will release special impartation. You will just wake up, your brain will start operating at a higher frequency. You will start spotting opportunities everywhere. You will start bringing forth solution. Spirit of wisdom. Isaiah 11:2. The spirit of wisdom is one of the seven spirits of God and can be imparted. Ezekiel 2:2 said, the spirit entered into me when he spake to me. As you are listening to God's word, which is the wisdom of God, there is an impartation of the spirit of wisdom. Romans 1:11, Apostle Paul said, I long to see you, that I may impart to you, what? Some spiritual gift.
to the end that ye may be established. Rise to your feet. The journey begins with desire. Proverbs 18:1. It says through desire. We are going to pray very briefly, but I want you to cry out from the depth of your heart. Don't worry, we will soon be done. Don't be in a hurry to leave. What is the use sitting here, coming here and receiving nothing? Mm-mm. Am I communicating? In 1-2 minutes, are you ready to pray this prayer? See, men have received impartation of wisdom that have turned them into signs and wonders. Malakudeke balatia. Is it not from sweet potato a man saw over 100 products? From peanut, 325 inventions. George Washington Carver. Do you know that even this sand that we are stepping upon, that it looks so useless, God can open your eyes and you will see something from there. I want you to cry out to God. I want you to cry out. It's a true desire. Do you desire to walk in the wisdom of God at all? Do you desire to walk? A lot of crisis, the solution is wisdom. A lot of problems people go through, is the wisdom of God is the solution to it. Mandesco frete elikabatia. Was it not in one service that Pastor Mafeng received, through the operation of the wisdom of God, he received an idea on how to sew a particular design, right? That's the spirit of wisdom. That's the spirit of wisdom. Let God open your eyes. The Bible says, eyes have not seen. The spirit of wisdom is the spirit of revelation. Give me that scripture again, Ephesians 1:17. You will pray that prayer that Apostle Paul prayed for the church at Ephesus, that God will grant you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of Him, so that the eyes of your understanding will be enlightened, so that you can do mighty works. So that you can do mighty works. In fact, you won't even know the hope of your calling without the revelation and enlightenment that comes from the spirit of wisdom. You won't know your inheritance in Christ, and you'll be ignorant of the exceeding greatness of His power. The cure for all of that is spirit of wisdom revealed them to you. Will you lift up your voice now and cry out? Manda bala subeletena. Shabalaka sofreketila balatia. Sapateke pura balakida brandeke breketuska. Kalabaka sabalaka balatai. Bontaka baroska brakatai. I receive breakthrough ideas, breakthrough discoveries, record-breaking discoveries, witty invention, innovations, kapateke balatai, divine ideas, concept and insight, something nobody has ever done before. The spirit of wisdom will empower you to do them. He said, what wisdom is this that is given unto him, that even such mighty works are wrought by his hands? Somebody is creating something that nobody has ever done. Somebody is coming up with a breakthrough discovery that we attract the king, the kings of the earth, that we attract governors, presidents. Malakudeke balatai, shataka balatai. Innovative ideas, creative ideas, creativity. The wisdom of God will make you a super intelligential. Malada bakasaya, rondo sofre telede, iloba kondo frabalatai. Mandege borabalatai. You are breaking records. You are breaking records. You are breaking records. You are breaking records. By the oppression of the spirit of wisdom, you are breaking records. What they say they cannot do, you will be the first to do it. the kind of results nobody has ever gotten in that department, in that faculty, in that school. You will be the first to produce such results, because the wisdom of God will be operating in you. Mande gebalaya shabababababos bonde barasude belete branda kabababababore kida shata kabala katai efrekete kete. The spirit of excellence is resting upon you, making you 10 times better, making you 10 times better. The spirit of wisdom is granting you excellence, making you an excellent personality, making you exceptional, distinguishing you from the crowd, making you 10 times better. Ila bakondo frekete. Ila ya babababara baladai. Kopoto boko teke bakatus. La bakatika brakatai. Shalada balabara gabadai. The spirit of wisdom is granting you a seeing eye, a hearing ear, a wise and understanding heart. What eyes have not seen, what ears have not heard, what has not entered the hearts of men is being downloaded to you now. Maleko borabalatai. Wisdom for mighty works. Shata balika bata. Mighty works in business, mighty works in the academia, mighty works in the educational world, mighty works in the medical world. You are producing mighty works in the financial realm. You are doing exploits. Onde barabalondo sofrete. Manda balakuze belete. Shala babababababarabaladai. Retekete. Shalababos. Brakataka baba baba bala bala dai. Wisdom, the spirit of wisdom is jumping upon you now. Shaladegebaya. You will not make foolish decisions again. Your eyes have been opened. I want you to put your hands on your eyes. Malikaba, I'm seeing eyes. I'm seeing eyes. Mashila bakatai. The spirit of wisdom is anointing people's eyes to the realms of revelation and understanding. Please help them. Shakatu setele melegedia. In the name of Jesus, lebakonde kebakatai, lepeketila braskatai, alabateke brakatai. The spirit of revelation, the spirit of understanding, take it now. Let your eyes be anointed with eyesight. From today, begin to see, begin to hear. I bless you with a seeing eye. I bless you with a hearing ear. I bless you with a wise and understanding heart. Omborose beleketo kobrakatai. My God, my God, my God. Shataka barude kebalatai. The spirit of understanding. Ayagabateke brekete. There is a reign of the spirit of revelation understanding. God is opening people's eyes, opening their ears, opening their heart. Take it now. Please bring them forward. Mando bose peletena. Somebody, you used to read and forget. You used to read and forget. You used to read and go blank. Put your hand on your head, because today that yoke is broken now. You will not read and forget again. Maliko fopo lekida kabarakatia. Open
revelation.
There is a young man behind. Bring that person. Lift up your hands. If you are that person, you used to read, but once it comes to exam, you forget, you go blank. Put your hand on your head. The rest of you, lift up your hands. In the name of Jesus, I want your amen to sound like thunder. By the power that raised Jesus from the dead, I decree and declare, every spirit, every force, every power that makes you to forget the things you read, that spirit leaves you now. I command that yoke of mental blockade to be broken. And I release upon you the spirit of excellence. Receive an impartation of the spirit of wisdom. In the name of Jesus. The spirit of excellence is distinguishing you, making you 10 times better. You are shining with the wisdom of God, and you are shining with the glory of God. Go ahead and blast in tongues. I'm seeing things leaving people and things entering people's head. I'm seeing things. Put your hand on your head and blast in tongues. There are things leaving people's head. There are things entering people. Whatever my Father has not planted is living your brain, living your life. The things that God have ordained, they are entering. Mala superletea. Wisdom is entering you now. Understanding is entering you now. Alababo shila balabaladai. Take.
O take borobo kosefreka.
Alababo. Arabalaga bragadai. Ilarabados. Bataka baba baba baba. Breakthrough ideas. Concept and insight. They are entering you now. With the invention. They are entering you now. They have divine creativity. Katabala barabaladai. You begin to walk in the wisdom of God. You are breaking records. You are breaking old records. You are setting new records. You are breaking old records. You are Ashida Balatai. Onde Lebosha. In the name of Jesus. All eyes closed, all heads bow. If you are in this place, I want to give you opportunity to come to Jesus. If you've not accepted Jesus as your Lord and Savior, you've not accepted the free gift of salvation, or you are not sure of your relationship with God, if Jesus is to come now, you are not sure of going with him, I want you to lift up your right hand wherever you are. You can be sure. And to give you this opportunity, lift up your right hand wherever you are. And then you can take another step of faith, come and meet me forward. Including those of you listening to me online. Matu Setila Balatia. The journey to walking in the wisdom of God begins by you becoming a child of God. Say this prayer after me to surrender your life to Jesus. Say, Lord Jesus, I believe you died for my sins and you were raised on the third day. I confess with my mouth that you are my Lord and Savior. I receive eternal life into my spirit. Thank you for saving me. In Jesus' name.
We believe you're blessed by this message. Our goal is to raise a glory generation that will walk in kingdom dominion and manifest the word of God as a lifestyle. To download more messages by Dr. Lucas Sagon King or to partner with us, please visit www.avalancheofglory.org. Subscribe to our YouTube and Telegram channel. Also follow us on Facebook and Instagram at the Avalanche of Glory Ministries International. Call 080-6530-2610 or 070-3699-1158 for more information. We love and celebrate you.